Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. A proposed long-term care facility in Port Hope is a complex situation. It is tangled up in a myriad of issues, from the desperate need for beds for the elderly to preserving a heritage building. Mixed within this is the need to follow sound planning principles and the varying voices of the public on all sides. If that is not enough, the Ontario government issued a Minister's Zoning Order, or an MZO. This will allow the project to go forward and create a 7-story, 192-bed facility. A new application to demolish the existing historic buildings on the site is currently winding its way to council. On today's show, Port Hope Mayor Olena Hankovinsky will talk in depth about the background of the project, the minister's zoning order, and the path forward. More than that, she will share her own feelings and thoughts on what is unfolding. It is my sincere pleasure to have with me today Port Hope Mayor Olena Hankovinsky. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Robert. So pleased to be with you this morning.
Before we get into the details for listeners who don't know what's going on in Port Hope, let's start with a few basics. Can you briefly explain what is being proposed for development at 65 Ward Street, 20 Hope Street?
What is being proposed for development is a 7-story long-term care facility that will be providing a net new 35 beds for the community. It's consolidating 2 existing facilities in the community into one building, and the 2 facilities in particular, one are older and outdated buildings.
Can you tell me what exists in that space now?
So there are 3 existing buildings on that lot, and that lot has been designated as heritage protected.
What's the highest building in the area right now?
Well, I think the better way to talk about it is what we allow in terms of zoning for that area. And so that is 5 stories.
Now, who's behind the development?
It is Southbridge.
Now, how long has this application to amend the bylaw to allow this higher building been before council and the public? Do you know?
Well, the file certainly precedes this council. The file goes back to the previous council, but discussions around a long-term care facility on this particular land has been an ongoing discussion for quite a few years, and it's gone through a number of design options. And so it's certainly not a new discussion for this community. But it is a file that we have definitely inherited from the last council.
If you were to summarize the public's feelings on the proposal, how would you do that?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Robert, because we haven't actually done a broad survey of residents. We actually have not provided any kind of mechanism to report what I would consider to be statistically significant. What we do know are that there are a number of groups that have come forward with some serious concerns about the height, the scale, the overall location of this facility. But we haven't heard from, say, the broadest segment of the community on this. As with many issues, those that feel most strongly about a particular issue are the ones that are typically coming forward to talk to council or to express their points of view.
How significant, though, is public input into the planning process? I mean, during all these various phases, and I think this goes back to, I believe, 2018, there's been all kinds of meetings. There's been all kinds of opportunities for the public to come forward and have input. Why is it significant now to maybe go out and to poll the public? Or is public input really a critical factor at this particular time?
Well, you know, look, Robert, I can't comment on all the nuances of previous meetings and engagements that have happened in the past. But in any kind of democratic system, I think community engagement is absolutely key. I think, though, that when we talk about extraordinarily challenging and complex and difficult files, as this one is, it's worth noting that there are many different stakeholder groups that are affected by the decisions that are in front of this council. And so the issue can look very differently depending on where you're sitting, what your priorities are, and what you feel is good for the community. I do acknowledge that we live in very different political times where a lot of local decision making is now really taken by the province. And if we think about the MZO, for example, that is a ministerial order that really does decide the zoning on that particular property, and it overrides anything that the municipality may or may not want. And that is the reality of the context in which we're living.
I'd like to come back to the ministerial zoning order in a bit. At one point, there was talk of granting a heritage permit, but it was used as a sort of a push towards getting Southbridge to sign a development agreement. But the time frame to reach a deal has expired, in my understanding. So can you update us on the status of the heritage permit and what does that mean for the development?
Well, previous council did, in fact, grant a heritage permit with a number of conditions. Those were never met, so that we revoked that permit last fall. So right now, what is in front of council is an application for a heritage demolition permit that is going through the due process, which includes consultation with one of our Heritage Port Hope Advisory Committees that happened on the 19th. And then it will be going forward to staff to prepare a full public report, which will then be presented to council. And we will be having a special meeting on this file on the 29th at 5 p.m. So the Heritage Port Hope Advisory Committee determined that both the MZO and the demolition permit are not appropriate outcomes for this designated heritage property, and recommended to the council that the demolition permit not be granted. So, as I mentioned, the council will receive this recommendation and deliberate about the permit for demolition at our future meeting.
What meeting will this be coming up at? Is it your next meeting, or is it a meeting after that? Which one will it be coming forward
to? It's a special meeting on the 29th at 5 p.m. only for this particular issue. And at this point, we have not yet received all the information from staff, as I mentioned, in a form of a public report. And so we're still awaiting that.
And this will be a public meeting. Will there be an opportunity for people to make deposition, or is it just a council meeting where you guys will be talking through what's being recommended?
No, any public meeting, there's always an opportunity for folks to come forward and present a delegation. And as I have always said, that all decisions on this file will be publicly discussed and deliberated, and that continues to be the case. We have in closed session received critical legal and confidential advice and other financial information, but in terms of the deliberations on this file, all of this will be done in public and decided in public.
In May, Port Hope Council met with Minister of Long-Term Care, Paul Calandra. Who else was at that meeting?
Robert, that information is all public. We have released all the names. We have released the letter that requested this meeting, which came from the province. I think that's enough information. If somebody's interested to know, the full list is available.
Why was it necessary to go into closed session, though?
Well, it was on the request of the province and the minister. It was outlined in the letter, and it is absolutely in accordance with the Municipal Act. The municipality did its due diligence in that determination. And like many other issues that go into closed session, this is one of those one of those issues where confidential information is shared, and that's why we have those special provisions under the Municipal Act.
If it's my understanding, under the Municipal Act, there are three areas generally which a closed session happens on. There is a legal matter, it's the purchase or sale of property, or it's a personnel matter. Which of those categories did this fall under?
Well, there's another part of the Act, and as I mentioned, it is all publicly available. We were very transparent. We released not only the letter requesting the meeting, as well as the names of all the guests. And we have been very forthcoming about that to the public. And we certainly, on a matter like this, as you can imagine and appreciate, we did our due diligence and ascertaining that this was absolutely an appropriate closed meeting.
When you left that meeting, did you have any sense of what was coming at you in the future? Did you have a feeling about what was going to unfold going forward?
Well, the only feelings that I've had about what was coming or what might be in front of us was that which we publicly shared in council when we initially got a letter saying that the minister was considering an MZO for this property. And as you know, now we in fact did receive that MZO.
For those who may not understand what an MZO or a minister's zoning order is, can you give me a textbook definition?
Well, I don't have the textbook in front of me, but you know, basically it is a tool that I guess what I could start by saying is, you know, the site where the said LTC is supposed to be located is zoned in Port Hope for institutional use. And historically, we know that that's what it's been used for. The current zoning, as I mentioned earlier, can be up to 5 stories, and higher than that has always required a zoning bylaw amendment. So what we have received is an MZO, which we cannot appeal. And that basically takes any decision-making around the zoning, and specifically site plan and the height of the building is no longer in our hands.
What is left in your hands?
Well, we have to make a decision on the heritage demolition permit that is in front of us.
Can the minister override that aspect of the zoning?
No, you know, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. So a permit is required to demolish a heritage designated building. The municipality approves these kinds of permits, but if the municipality refuses, the applicant, that is the developer, can appeal it to the Ontario Land Tribunal, the OLT, which can override a council's decision. So that would be the step if the council does not support the heritage permit, is to go to the OLT. There can be costs associated with going to the OLT. And there are, of course, no assurances of what the outcome might be at the OLT. What I can share with you is data from 2022 that says that close to 97% of cases heard at OLT have been decided in favor of the developer.
How would you describe council's reaction to the events that have unfolded recently, in particular the MZO?
Well, I don't think anybody was surprised about the MZO, because we had been alerted to the fact that this was a possibility. We had a letter sent to us. It was something that was reported on, as I mentioned, in council. It was something that was explained to us in council. It's something that I've written about in my mayor's corner around what is an MZO, what does it mean, how does it affect decision making around this file. So no, I don't think anybody was surprised that we received an MZO.
People may not be surprised, but there are a whole host of other emotions that come with this. Mm-hmm. What have been some of the other aspects of the reaction to things unfolding?
Well, I think, as I had mentioned earlier, this kind of policy tool is used when there are perceptions that there have been delays in a particular process, and when a certain agenda or priorities are really being seen as needing to be fulfilled. So we do have on record the Minister of Long-Term Care saying that he has an agenda, and that agenda is to build LTC homes and beds across this province, because the reality is there are 39,000, almost 39,000 people on wait lists for long-term care beds in this province. And he is on record in terms of Port Hope in saying that he will use any policy instrument available to him to make sure that this project is realized. The other important point to make, I think, is that the current facility, Hope Street Terrace in particular, where we do have a number of the current long-term care beds that Southbridge operates, that building is not going to be able to operate beyond December of 2024 next year, because it will not be adherent to fire code regulations. And in particular, it does not have a sprinkler system. So I do think that there is consensus in this community that we do need long-term care beds, that we have had years and years and years of, I would argue, probably decades of policy neglect looking at this issue and being prepared for the challenges of not only aging in place as a society, but the kinds of institutional settings that are required for us to manage an aging population.
There's a lot of aspects to this issue that are complex. You've said that a number of times, but also things that just can't be changed. How has all of this left you feeling?
Oh, well, it is, you know, this has been a very difficult file for this council for a number of reasons. One is there is no doubt in my mind that every single person that we have on council right now is thinking from all angles on this file, is very concerned with the decision, the complexity of the decision making. And also ultimately, I think we all realize there's not going to be a decision that's made here that's going to be a win-win for anybody. And that is just the reality of it. I do think, though, that we have to continue to think forward about the fact that there is such a demand for long-term care beds in our community, in this province, that we have to continually think forward about what might be the next project, what might be the other opportunities that we can bring to the community, what other options might there be. But this is an extremely long historic file. It is in front of us in a time-sensitive manner, and we realize that there's no straight lines here.
You are an academic, and you've worked for major institutions. Surely you must have some thoughts on democracy and how democracy works. Has this experience given you pause for thought, and what have been some of those thoughts?
Yes, well, you're right. If I were to go back to teaching my policy analysis class, this would be the case study that I would start with. I always start with showing my students what I call the wicked policy problems that engage and affect a number of different key stakeholders. And I think this is one of those problems where there is, as I said, no straight line. There are so many stakeholders that are directly affected, that feel very passionately about this. And there are different levels of government that are playing roles in this decision-making. I'm also, though, at the end of the day, as somebody who has worked in the policy realm and seen different governments come and go at federal and provincial and local levels, I'm at the end of the day a realist. And I think that realist lens is what I bring to this particular issue. And I also, at the end of the day, as somebody whose first book was written on the ethics of care and how that affects policy decision making, I'm most concerned with when we are confronted with difficult issues. When I think about all the stakeholders, I'm most concerned with those that are most vulnerable and are often voiceless in policy discussions and debates. And I feel that dimension in this current situation has not always come out in the way that reflects the lived experiences of those people who are living those experiences. We can have perceptions of what we think is good or bad, but those lived experiences have to always be front and center when we're making decisions, which we know that there are going to be many losers, but who's going to lose the most or who's going to win the most? We have to think about those voices that often don't come to the front and center of our policy discussions or debates.
If you could sit down with a Port Hope resident and have a cup of coffee, what would you want to tell them about this issue?
Well, I think I would just reiterate what I've said before, which is we acknowledge how difficult and complicated this file is. It's something that has confronted this community for a number of years, that this council is extraordinarily conscientious. It is thoughtful. It is looking at this issue from all angles. I know I can speak for myself as somebody who is absolutely evidence-informed, and evidence-informed means I am going to look at the research. I'm going to look at the evidence. I'm going to have a fulsome idea of, you know, what's happening in long-term care more generally, and in particular since COVID-19, how that's affecting legislation, regulation, building standards. I'm going to look at the data, the statistics on what we know is needed in our county, in our community, in the province, and then take into account all the stakeholder voices and expressions that have come before us. And that's how a good decision is made. And a decision has to be made by looking at all of those contours, all of those groups, and all of those voices, and all of the evidence all at once. And that's complicated, and it takes time, and it takes the ability to zoom in and zoom out.
In our conversation, you've mentioned a couple of things that are coming up. So just to summarize, what are the next steps that people should be watching for?
Well, I think the most important is obviously going to be the special meeting that we have on the 29th at 5 p.m. That's a public meeting. It's open to everyone, where we will be considering and discussing and debating the staff report that will be coming to us around the heritage demolition permit. And that is when we will be making a decision on that file.
Your Worship, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Robert.
That was Port Hope Mayor Olena Hankovinsky. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.